Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel.
Here's Cortinel.
Each week they unleash their raw, stripped down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
What a sad few days. Hi, everyone. It's Jungle Jim Jerome. It is a sad few days coming out with another episode of The Suspendables with me and Russ Cortinel, as we do each and every week. And, I was talking to Stevie earlier today. We did our podcast. I mean, just a bunch of deaths, Russ, that happened this week.
Terrible.
Where do you want to start, Rusty, with them?
Well, let's start with the three young hockey players in BC.
Yeah, killed Friday, August 20th, Friday night, early Saturday morning. Caleb Reimer, Ronan Sharma, and Parker Magnuson, all 16, 17 years old. These young kids in a car accident.
Yeah, just terrible. Their poor families and everyone involved. I mean, it's just what a phone call for those three families. It's just brutal. And then we lose Rod Gilbert.
Right. Did you know Rod?
I did. I met him when I played for the Rangers briefly. And then we did a charity event in Aspen, Colorado together. And I hung out with him, and he started showing me his wife's beautiful engagement ring. And by him showing me that, it cost me thousands of dollars because I had to upgrade for my wife's wedding ring. And I just loved him. He had great stories and just a wonderful guy, and lived to 80. What a great long life. So you get these three young guys, then we lose an 80-year-old, and you think, reflecting on his life, and sad anytime, but anyone passes. But at 80, what a great life. And
right.
He did live a great life. And then,
Rod Gilbert actually played his whole career for the Rangers, known as Mr. Ranger. He played right wing on the gag line, goal of game line. Every team has a gag line, don't they? With Vic Hatfield and Jean Rattel. Inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1982 and was the first player in Rangers history to have his number retired. Wow. His playing career, he became president of the Rangers Alumni Association. Just a great, all the accolades that were laid on this guy this week. And one of them, several were from fans too. And, and I know a couple in New York, as you do too, Donna and Mark Rubin, who we had Mark on our show. He's got the collectible shop in New York City. And they're rabid Ranger fans. And they had a really nice statement about him themselves and what he meant to them. And there was more and more of that all the time, the deeper dive you took into it. And I always said, what a way to go out, what a way to go, Rod, what a way to go out. So anyway, what's next? There's a
Jimmy Hayes.
Yeah, Jimmy, did you know him?
I didn't. 31 years old. He has a 2-year-old and a 3-month-year-old. Two boys.
Right.
And I reached out to Cam Neely just to, say sorry, because he was a Bruin.
Yeah.
And anyways, he just, all of us are like way too young. And there's another guy leaving behind a young wife with the young kids. The kids will probably won't remember their father, but
everyone else will.
Another guy, that's five in 2 or 3 days of hockey from the hockey family. So just a wicked few days for young and old, and not good.
31-year-old Jimmy Hayes won a national hockey championship at Boston College and played 7 seasons in the NHL. A law enforcement official said medics were called Monday to the Hayes home in Boston, where he was pronounced dead. No other details were disclosed. He was a 6'5" right winger, was drafted in the second round, 60th overall in 2008 by the Toronto Maple Leafs. And 2 years later, he helped Boston College to its second straight national title, totaling 13 goals, 22 assists in 42 games. He made his NHL debut in December 2011 after a trade to the Chicago Blackhawks. He last played professionally in 2019 and has been a co-host of a podcast called Missing Curfew. I think you were a guest on the show, Rusty, Missing Curfew?
Missing Curfew with Shane O'Brien and Scotty Upshaw. I did the show, actually, when he – and he was not on the show. I did it back in the fall in L.A.
Right.
So – you know, Scotty and Shane O'Brien are really good friends of mine, and I think his nickname was Broadway. I think
from Philly.
No, I think like
that's Broad Street, Jimmy. Get your nicknames right. Yeah.
Anyways, terrible few days.
Terrible few days. Yeah, Stevie, give us a little music, Stevie. I want to transition, okay, into our next. We got it's shout out day and questions for Russ. So let's.
I got a shout out too. So give me a chance to shout out.
Okay, I'll give you a chance. I'll give you a chance. Let's crank this out. Okay, Rusty. Maybe we can bring a little lighter side of it on a tough week in the hockey world for all that stuff. And this, I threw it out there yesterday, Russ. Questions for Russ. Okay. By the way, thanks everyone for listening. Ron McLean was on last week. Our numbers go up, Rusty. It hurts me, but when we have other people on,
yeah, yeah,
that's great. As you and I think we are.
Pick up the slack.
Picking up the slack. Ronnie was great, and as Steve and I were saying, he's just so freaking smart.
Oh my God.
And well spoken, and
just it just rolls off him like
like lava, you know. Just
and yeah, he's. He's an amazing guy. He did such great things for our charity event and over the years. And he's a big believer in mental health. And
right,
smart and funny and a lot of fun.
Tons of fun, man.
And when you get him relaxed and he can have a tip a couple beers back, boy, he's just a ton of fun.
He's the best. Yeah, he's the best. And he became almost as famous for taking his shirt off in a bar one night.
No, we couldn't bring that up while he was on the show.
No, I didn't bring it up. I saw it there, right? It's all over social media, but just a wonderful guy. And I'll tell you what, as cool as he is, you know, as a person, as a media personality, he's beat the odds, man.
Like
tons.
Well, that's because he's so good.
He's so good. It's true. So Rusty, well, man, I'll tell you what, Rusty, I just knocked off the double bacon and cheese whiz tomato sandwiches, two of them.
Really?
Yes.
Well, those are better doubles than you used to have.
That's true. Nice. Broomch. Where's the rim shot? That's beautiful.
And a lot cheaper.
And way cheaper. Yeah, much cheaper. Tons of people. I threw it out there yesterday that you're coming on and we want to catch up. With your life, Rusty, and a bunch of stories that you have. First of all, I jumped on a podcast. Friends of mine, Brian Aaronworth, who you know, and his son Mikey have a little podcast called the Sign Off Podcast, where they talk about a bunch of stuff, including collectible things. They just started; it's kind of like a hobby for them. Yep. But they threw it out there to do a little cross promo. For you and I and them. To promote giving away a couple of jerseys, okay? Signed jerseys. One's a Sid Crosby. The other one's a Mitch Marner jersey. So we got a winner, Rusty. All you had to do was, and we'll do this again down the road. You two jerseys were up for grab. The Sid the Kid jersey signed and Mitch Marner. Mm-hmm. You subscribe to both the Sign Off podcast and the Suspendables podcast. Send a screenshot. This is all done now, of course, of both subscriptions. And that's what everyone did. And the winners are going to be announced on air August 16th. or
August a week 16th.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm late. Late on it. Okay. So we want to congratulate a great listener of ours, big fan, Kevin McNamara.
Nice.
Kevin, you've won the Mitch Marner jersey. And all you got to do is you're going to email.
Pay $1,000.
Rush and I each get $2,000, and we'll
read the small print.
Yeah,
you win and you pay.
Go to the sign off pod at frameworth.com. Thanks a lot to Brian and Mikey for putting that together. I'm sure we'll do more and more of that. So Kevin McNamara.
Does he win both or just one?
Just one.
Yeah. Okay. Who won the other?
Well, on their show, they gave away
one.
Yeah, so now you got it, right? So anyway, way to go, Kevin. So a bunch of other shout-outs that we want to do today. Neil Fernie, he wants more barbecue tips, Russ, from you. He wants your best barbecue tip. Do you know one offhand? Can you give us a little tip?
I seared ribs last night. I did ribs, St. Louis ribs.
Okay.
And just smear whatever rub you like on them.
Yeah.
Sear them on both sides for like 10 minutes just so they get the marks. Wrap them in tin foil and leave them on the barbecue at about 350 and then squeeze for about 2 hours and then squeeze lemon all over them, cut them up, and they're unbelievable.
I'm hungry right now.
Yeah.
Wow, does that ever sound good?
Or same ribs, sear them on both sides, put them in a pan. Smother your favorite barbecue sauce on the, season them, and then put barbecue sauce on the meat side. Put them in the in an aluminum pan.
Yeah.
Two beers. Wow. In the bottom of the pan.
Drink them.
And seal it with foil and put it in the oven for 2 hours at 400, and they just come out and fall off the bone. Those are freaking awesome. I learned those are Dougals from my landlord in Hawaii.
Oh my God, I'm going to eat my arm right now. That's unreal. I got a great story about a buddy of ours when you, and we may have told this months and months ago, but speaking of, my mouth is watering right now and I'm starving. Billy Comrie, busy guy, brick guy. Remember Billy, the brick? Mm-hmm. Both his sons, Mike and Paul, played in the league, NHL. He gets on a flight, you know, he's super busy and he sits down in his seat and the stewardess comes over. He's probably riding first class. And, you know, says, can I get you something? And he immediately sort of interrupts her and says, look it. And I'm not to be rude, but I don't want you to bother me at all. I've got a ton of work. I've only got a 2.5 hour flight. So you don't need to do anything for me. Right.
Yeah.
I just can't be interrupted. I've got to get this work done. And she goes, no problem. Absolutely. I understand. So, you know, about 20 minutes later after the plane takes off, there's a guy in the seat right in front of Bill and the stewardess is there helping him or the flight attendant, whatever the correct political term is. And Stewie, probably. So she says, can I get you anything? And the guy says, do you have a selection of vodka? She goes, yes, we do. We've got Smirnoff and Seagram's and we've got Finlandia. He goes, is it chilled? And she goes, yeah, it is. Yeah, we got the. He goes, I love Finlandia chilled. Yeah, she goes, yeah, absolutely. He says, do you got a martini glass? Yes, absolutely, sir. Martini glass and crushed ice. Yep, we do. He says, okay, get me the Finlandia. Okay, the chilled Finlandia. Fill up the martini glass about halfway with the crushed ice. And do you have olives? She goes, yeah, we've got giant olives, right? That we have. He goes, put in three of those. And do you mind just pouring the vodka gently over the three olives and then just a little splash of vermouth? And she goes, absolutely. Bill goes, excuse me. Can I have one of those? He said, it's just like, sounded like the best freaking thing in the world. You know, don't bother me. I tell this guy, Bill, he's like, his mouth is watering. Yeah, give me a couple of those. Anyway, lots of shout outs today. There's your barbecue tips. Willie Matrix. I think it's the Matrix that I know. Brian Gilroy, sorry. He met you at Gozer with his buddy, Greg Stark.
Yep.
He says, he goes, Greg's, you got to get Ray Whitney. Listener. He says, Ray Whitney aced a par four.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Ray was checked back a couple shows ago. Ray was on. A great guest. Your buddy Brian here says there was booze and some falling down involved.
Really?
So he's kind of teasing whether you know that story or not. Huh. Do you?
I don't, but Greg's a big listener. And he and I hit it off, a couple Canadians. He lives in Seattle.
Okay.
And he's from Manitoba. I sold him a lot at Gozer at the tree bar. I have the picture of him signing the contract.
Oh, you're having a few pops and you
closed the deal. I took him over in my golf cart and I said, buy this lot, came back to the tree bar and signed a contract. It was great.
How do you do it, you lucky prick?
Oh, it was funny. But he's a great guy and a big time listener.
Okay. Hey to Greg and Brian. Thanks a lot.
Starkey. He's going to buy it, James Island. He just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah. I was going to say, you better send him some vodka. Yeah. Do something. It's Eamon Alvani. Alvani. He says, Russ, he's a huge fan of yours. He saw you fight Rutu in 1993 and you filled him. Absolutely filled him. He says, you don't really talk about you being a good fighter, but are you a good fighter? And where did you learn how to fight?
I learned how to fight in Victoria when I was playing for the Cougars. Two guys, Tommy Black was a Golden Gloves boxer here in Victoria in his day. And he taught Jeff and myself, my younger brother, Bruce. And then we had an old trainer that was the someone played him in Raging Bull. And he was in that fight. The one Robert De Niro played in that movie. He was like the guy Robert was fighting. And he was our trainer, this old guy. And he taught me a few tricks. And I used them, but I wasn't a big fighter. But Rutu, so in Chicago, we have a fight. I'm playing for Dallas. He gets traded to Vancouver. I get traded to Vancouver. And let's just say he wasn't a team favorite. And Glenn Hanlon, you know, they before the playoffs, so that was uncomfortable. We're playing on the same team now.
Right.
And he's not super well liked on the team. And so it's the guys are kind of ribbing him about it. And Glenn Hanlon was in charge of putting together the pump up video for the playoffs. So before each playoffs, somebody puts together a highlight film of everybody on the team and gets everybody fired up for the playoffs. And a lot of teams do this, but Vancouver really went out of their way to show great highlights of each guy. So we're all in there. They got it to music.
Right.
And it comes to me and I'm just pumping freaking Rutu. he was so pissed awesome. Off. He was livid and he was mad at me. And I'm going, I had nothing to do with this. He goes, you must have told him about the fight. I said, what?
Yeah.
I didn't do. Oh, he was pissed off.
Well, if you would have known about it, you would have done that anyway. Don't ever tell Russ.
It was hilarious. Yeah. Glenn Hanlon was giggling. Like he just giggled like a little kid. He was just so, he couldn't wait for the video.
Right. Spencer the Ginger. Hey, Spencer, how are you? Thanks for listening. Amos Anger. He says, players, there's a bunch of players, Russ, which you do hear about from time to time. Players who want to be musicians, and there's musicians who want to be players.
Yeah,
he says, it's true. Yeah, talk about that, Russ. You live in L.A. I think there's a pretty good, isn't there a pretty good actors hockey league or Hollywood hockey league?
We played on, a long time ago, we used to play on Sundays, whoever was in town, and then Mike Myers would play. There was, Tom Cruise came out.
Kiefer Sutherland, did he play?
Kiefer Sutherland, Jerry Bruckheimer really put it on, the movie producer.
Right.
Cuba Gooding, Jr., and then a bunch of guys that were in the movie.
I think Alan Thicke used to like to go.
Alan Thicke played. Yeah. Alan was in that game. And the funnest part of it was afterwards we'd go to upstairs to the bar and sit around and Mike Myers would just put on a show for like 2 hours. It was hilarious. But these guys, they improved every season. Every summer I'd come back and play. They got better and better and better because they were all other than Kiefer and Alan Thicke and a few of the other guys who grew up playing hockey, a lot of them just started playing because of Wayne Gretzky. They fell in love with the game and picked it up as an adult. And so it was amazing to watch their improvement from one summer to the next.
Yeah. And I think the singing thing,
Brett Hedekin could play the guitar and he can sing. So he was great. And when we go to the Roxy in Vancouver, we'd get him up. We'd ask the band if they had a house band there and we'd ask if he could get up and play and he'd play a couple songs. And then in 2010, I think we were there for the NHL awards banquet and Jeff and I gave out a award for charity work. And, mm-hmm. So we presented that award. And after that, we all went to the Roxy. Typical, you get all the NHL guys together. They go to their NHL headquarters, which is the Roxy in Vancouver.
Sure.
And and Craig Niehaus. So Niehaus.
Yeah, Craig Niehaus.
Craig Niehaus, who played in Boston and then played in Europe, is now a professional musician. And he is phenomenal. And he is phenomenal. So Mark Messier goes up to the band and says, "Hey, my buddy's here. Can he come up and play?" And
right.
You know, they're used to it. And they let guys come up. Well, Craig Niehaus gets up and takes over, and the place goes crazy. And on the third song, you can see the lead singer go up and whisper in his ear, like, "Get the F off my stage." Because he had everybody just on the dance floor and going nuts. And he really captivates the audience. He's great. He can play any instrument. And if anybody's out there listening and you want to hire him, just go, you can either call the alumni or look up Craig Niehaus. I think like nine and then house. And we've had him at our events, and he's really phenomenal. He's based out of Windsor, I believe.
Right.
Windsor, Ontario, but great, great guy, great musician and an ex-hockey player.
Really good. Cause we were at your event and he got up on stage too. And not like he's a singer, songwriter, guitar player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or not. He can also play the freaking drums like a maniac. And he jumped on there and had everyone going, "Yeah, he's great." Brett Hennekin, of course, everyone may not know this, but I think he finished out in Florida playing his either Tampa or Florida. And he married the great American figure skater, Christy Yamaguchi.
Yes.
There's.
I was there the night that they met. I mean, they met in the Olympics, but then she was touring in Vancouver and they ran into each other, and that's where the sparks really flew. Yep.
They're still together, yeah.
Yeah. A couple of beautiful girls. And
they've been triple axling their way through marriage.
They're doing very well. No, they're a very successful couple.
Cool. George says, "What's it like being around probably the most iconic alumni group ever in Montreal? Did you ever seek advice from these guys? Did they ever give you advice?"
It was unbelievable playing in Montreal. Having left Toronto, where Harold didn't want any of the alumni around. So I met Eddie Shack and a couple other guys, but barely met any retired players unless they were working for Harold.
Yep.
But then you go to Montreal and every game, and not every game, but a lot of games, a lot of weekends, all these incredible players would walk into the room and say hello. And
must have been overwhelming.
Jean Beliveau, like I used to have so many conversations with Jean Beliveau, Yvan Cornoyer. Serge Savard was our general manager, and Jacques Lemaire was there. Jacques Laperriere was our coach, assistant coach.
Sure.
It was amazing. And one night in my rookie year there, so not my rookie season, but my first year in Montreal, we're playing Philadelphia and we lose.
Oh, no.
So it's after the game, we lose. And we're going back for game six, I believe. And I'm with Mario Tremblay, Yvan Cornoyer, and I think Guy Lapointe. And they're having dinner, and they call me over. They come sit with us. And they start telling these stories, and they're like, "Don't worry." I'm like, "I got to eat and go." And they're like, relax. You guys are going to win. Game, no problem.
Right, right.
You're going to win. Hey, let's have another bottle of wine. And I'm like, okay. But I got to go. And we were the last table to leave, and I heard so many great stories. I was 23 years old.
Awesome.
And the confidence that I had that we were going to win after I left that dinner with these guys, it was just the confidence they had and the experiences they've had winning cups. And Isn't they awesome, broke down man? Our game and told me exactly why we lost the game and how we're going to fix this. You're going to fix this. You're going to fix that. You guys are going to win. No problem. I mean, it was unfreaking believable. Mm-hmm. And their confidence gave me confidence. I'm like, okay, we're going. We went into Philly and freaking hammered them. And that was where the goalie, what the hell is the goalie's name?
Hextall?
Hextall came running out at the end of the game and jumped Chelly.
Oh, yes.
He goes crazy. Like, he turns into a crazy man. Yeah, that was the game. We went back there and knocked him out. But it was so nice there in Montreal to be able to see players, talk to players, and they were welcome in the dressing room and always had some really good advice for us. Right. So
it's crazy good, Russ, to be a hockey player. Like, Hextall was crazy. Billy Smith, right? When you think of goalies, I mean, he was kind of nuts.
They definitely keep you on the edge. I mean, it was to go near their crease, man. If you look at some of the highlights, I mean, they two-handed guys in the back of the legs, like baseball players trying to hit a home run.
Right. Right.
So they got a lot of respect around their crease. I remember having a mini breakaway coming from the right side, Montreal, and Hextall dove out, tripped me. I've lost control, went into the corner and took out Paul Stewart, the referee, and, sure. And tore his knee up.
Oh,
he was
no.
So pissed off at me. No. He missed the rest of the year because of that injury. But Hexie was nuts, and so was Billy Smith, who I scored my first goal on.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I scored it and got the hell out of there.
You waited until you got back to the blue line before you celebrated. Where's Serge Chavard now, Russ? Do you know?
Someone's asking. I reached out to Serge and wished him happy birthday this year, and he thanked me, and he said, one of my best trade ever. He was kind.
Was trading
kind
for moves. You or getting rid of you?
No, get one of my, well, he traded me for Kordic. Give me a break. So, anyways, he's in Montreal. He's a big real estate. He owns a ton of real estate in Quebec and Montreal. So he's been very, very successful, and I'm sure he's doing great.
Right on. Kyle Power asked me, any great Oilers stories? No. Anyway, let's.
None we can tell. Well, I never played there.
Yeah, one of my favorites for sure. All the years we hung out thick as thieves, the years we were winning. Speaking of Kings, King Henry Lundqvist retires. Rusty,
yeah,
great career. 15 years.
Health problems, right? His heart. He's got an inflammation of the heart.
Well, something. He went to Washington, right, for the 1 year, and then did have a heart problem and
has a heart problem.
So he retired. And speaking of King, so we're during the. After celebrating an Oiler Stanley Cup victory, we were up late one night, and me and Mess and Kevin and whoever else was around. And I had a flight going back to Ottawa at 8 in the morning, and I hadn't been to bed yet. Mm-hmm. And
that's normal, though.
I said, I got to get to the airport. And Mess said, oh, I'll drive you.
Oh, no.
I said, okay. And I said, I'm really late, though. He goes, no problem. He called it the Batmobile.
Yeah.
And he had this Porsche.
Yeah.
And so we jump into this Porsche, and we are, if you're from Edmonton, we're flying from the downtown, the airport's way south, flying across the high level bridge, you know, Saskatchewan Drive, and whoop, whoop, there we go again.
Oh,
we get pulled over, and I'm going, oh, this is going to be toast, man. We were really speeding. And the cop pulls him over and goes, oh, hey, Mark, what's going on? And he goes, you're going really fast. He goes, well, I was just testing my car, you know?
Yeah.
I just had it testing. In the shop. And it was kind of like nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yeah.
To give you an idea what he meant to the city and stuff.
Yeah.
So not only does the guy let him off the ticket, he goes, well, look, you got to be tired. Why don't you go back home and I'll run your friend out to the airport?
Oh, my God.
So I had the cruiser. Get me out there in time. So,
did he turn the lights on?
Turn the light them up. I said, light them up. You know.
Oh my God.
So he did through a couple intersections and got me there. But yeah, fantastic memories from back in the day. That's one of the stories I can tell. Anyway,
I ran into I was out at Victoria Golf Club. I might have stayed there a little late Wednesday night after men's night. So I'm there Thursday, and an old friend from Victoria, Simon Keith, is there with two buddies,
yep,
Brad and Darren McAdams, and their dad's on their way. They're having lunch before their golf. Guests aren't allowed to play till 3:30. So
right.
Hanging out with, and Simon and I played soccer together. He now lives in Vegas. He was a freaking unbelievable soccer player, great athlete. But he told me he listens to the show.
Okay.
I love that Simon listens to the show, and I said, it's a lot of fun and I don't prepare for the show. He goes, yeah, I know, I can tell. And we had a good laugh, but he's had two heart transplants.
Yikes.
One kidney transplant and a dozen pacemakers put in this, and he's the first professional athlete to play with a new heart after a heart transplant. He was a soccer player, and he has an amazing foundation. He raises money for Simon Keith Foundation down in Vegas, and they have a golf tournament every year. I think it's $17,500 for a foursome, and raises money for his cause. And he, I think of all the people who are struggling through this pandemic, you know, for the last year and a half. And here we have this guy who's just been a warrior, mm-hmm. and a brave, brave guy and a tough guy, obviously, to go through what he's been through. He's got a beautiful family, and it's inspiring. Like just sitting across from him, we're laughing, giggling. I don't know when he got into golf. He never really understood it. He didn't, my brother Jeff doesn't understand how we can go out and waste 4 hours and play golf when you could be doing something else. But he's now into golf, and he's just loving it. And so he goes now, he told Brad McAdams, he's like, yeah, now I get it. Now I get what you guys, why you guys love this game. So shout out to Simon, my old buddy. We played soccer against each other, and then we played on the same team. We're evening optimists. We had a really good soccer team. He and his brother Adam, we played on the same team, and they were freaking studs, man. Oh,
beauty!
They were phenomenal soccer players.
God, they produce them out there.
Greg
Meeker. Two questions for Russ. We kind of talked about this.
Related to Howie?
No, that's his nickname.
Oh,
his name is Greg Meekin, and calls himself Meeker. Was Montreal's mystique, quote unquote, a real thing? Was it different playing at the old Forum than other cities? What do you say to that?
Well, I always told people that playing for Montreal, you could be half asleep, walking from your car or your apartment downtown to the game. By the time you got to the rink, you could just feel the buzz in the air about the game. Mm-hmm. It was like I always say to people, it must have been like being on Broadway.
Right.
Opening and night. Then you get out for warm up and the buzz. Oh my God. And it was so amazing. I loved every minute of the process, getting ready for the game and then going out for a warm up and then playing in that rink. It was great. It really, really was. And it does the same thing for the opposing team too, because a lot of these guys grew up either loving or hating the Habs. So they're all fired up, and a lot of the games are shown across Canada. And so you got to be ready, not only for yourself and your teammates to play, but the other team is going to be pumped up. Same in Toronto, man. Guys came into Toronto, they just wanted to pound us and show off to all their friends and family.
Right.
So those two cities, boy, you better be, when you play for either one of those teams, you got to be ready for a team that's fired up and ready to put on a show.
You brought up your buddy, Jerry Bruckheimer or Bruckheimer?
Bruckheimer, yeah.
Yeah, Bruckheimer. So many shows you'll see his name on
over
the years. He bought into the Kraken.
Yeah, he's got like 0.5%.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Small very percent. Small.
I knew you'd very know that. It's probably pocket change for him, 0.5%.
Yeah, it's just it gives people I own part of, I own part of this or I own part of that.
Right. Yeah. Something to do.
Bragging rights.
Any advice?
He's got a lot of dough. I mean, that guy could afford to buy his own team, but
I'm sure
he's a little tight with the cash. He took his Sunday night hockey game and he turned it into a little tournament in Vegas, and he got Pat Brisson, who's a big agent,
right,
to get a lot of the NHL players to come, and Luke Robitaille and other guys like Chelly and whoever was out in LA skating with them. And they created this Bruckheimer 3-day event or something. It really turned into something. And he invited me every year and I never went, but my friend, Brian Turner, who is from Winnipeg, has made it big in LA. He owned Priority Records. He was the first guy to represent rappers. He left Sony to go, or one of those labels, to go and start his own label and represented rappers. So he did very well, but he told me a story that after the first year, they go to Vegas. And obviously all the NHL guys didn't really pay. They'd come and play, you know, you pay for your own room and this and that, but Bruckheimer was sending out bills to guys like, you owe $17.89 for the two rolls of tape you used.
Come on.
Yeah.
You just don't know. Huh? Yeah. You just
he
never
was,
know.
He broke down all the costs and he was saying, yeah, you owe this and you owe that. And oh my God. So,
and of course they're not getting paid, which they should be.
No. It was just Brian Turner, who's done very, very well, but he goes, Bruckheimer's just like, you know, just made a ton of money.
Yeah.
And he's just breaking down all the costs. So
it just can't help it. Some guys, right? And look what happens. Yeah. You can be a great guy, an internationally renowned television producer, but don't be cheap. You're going to get it. That'll teach him. Jean-Luc Saint-Ange, good friend of ours, good friend of mine and yours. You came to many camps with him and his dad.
Awesome,
guy. He says, when you watch your son playing, does he watch as a father or an ex-NHLer? Is it hard to keep your distance when both. Your kid's trying to make it?
So I do both. I watch him as a proud father, and then I also watch what he's doing out there, good and bad. And then depending on how the game goes, we talk after every game. He calls me as soon as he can.
Right.
If they're on the road, it's before he gets on the bus and or the hotel, and at home he calls me either on his way home or from home.
Right.
And we go over the game, and when he's really, really pissed off, if he's had a bad game, he just doesn't want to talk about it. And that hasn't happened that often over, you know, college and now 1 year pro, but it does happen where he realizes, you know, let's talk tomorrow. But I've learned, like, my son is his own critic. What I do is I go, you know, the blue lines, as though they're so important for a coach, that you get that puck outside of the offensive blue, in outside the defensive, inside the offense, and just don't lose the puck near the blue line and be good on the boards. All the little things that really piss coaches off.
Right.
Keep you off, like that can keep you off the ice. I try to help him in the ways that, you know, coaches are looking, sometimes they're looking for you to make mistakes so they can, it makes it easy on them. They can put somebody else in your position, but it's just those little things that piss coaches off that I try to help them with. And I never get upset at them. Like, we just talk. I'm not that person. And I wouldn't want that from my dad. And I've heard so many stories of guys' fathers getting, you know, so angry at them and this and that. And it just doesn't help. And and so we talk. And I help him as much as I can. And if he doesn't want to hear it, I just shut up. I go, all right, it's fine, you know. And I wait for him. He asks me a lot of questions. And probably because I'm not hard on him, you know, I'm not that guy.
Safe zone for him, for sure.
Yeah. So he and he's a player that what I didn't like when I played, what I really wish more coaches did, was put their hand on your shoulder, hand on your back, and tell you when you were doing something good. And it happened a couple times. Sir Savard did it for me. Pat Quinn did it for me. And I wish it was more often that, you know, when things are going well, it's nice to go up and pat a guy on the back and say, hey, you're playing great. We'll, you know, we notice, and it really goes a long ways. And I talked to Lawton a lot about all the good things he does. You know, I try to emphasize, you know, when he does something really well.
Right on. Neil, Kyle, let's see. Who else we want to say hello to? Jimmy Wilson. Thank you, Jim, for listening. Troy from Langley. How did you and I meet? Well, we met years ago through the great one at his fantasy camp, I think would have been the first time around that. So, I don't know, 30 years ago, 20 to 30 years ago that we met. Stan Heber, my buddy from Sault Ste. Marie, big listener, and David Baxter, his friend. Shout out to those guys. Trent Goudreau is in Whitecourt. You can't come, but I'm going to be there October 2nd for the Hockey Heroes game. For charity. A bunch of guys coming up. A bunch of Oiler alumni are coming up, and I'm gonna do a little hot stove league.
Andrew Jackson, he just asked me to go and do something out in Newfoundland, but it's just close to. I'd love to go, but he's like, can you come out? It's in New Brunswick and it's in Moncton and it's September 24th, 26th. And I'm like, I've been away from home for 3 months.
Yeah. That'd be the last thing.
I don't think it'd be, hey honey, I'm going to New Brunswick.
Right. My old buddy, Brian Wing. Hey, Brian Winger, from Ottawa, Scott Turnbull from Sudbury for sure. Thanks Scott for listening. And Ryan Espinoza. I love that name. Good baseball name. Thank you, Jean-Luc, for your questions. Fraser Neek, of course. Susan Hopgood loves the show.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, from our female listeners. Thank you.
Are you Susan. Single?
Yeah, Sue, are you single?
Send Jim a DM.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not. You know, I can do it. I can't believe I'm getting desperate. What? I just you fell can't. For that. I'm just like,
you can make a tea time. That's about all you can make.
I said I wasn't going to ask it, but I can do it. Of course, the guy always, whenever they preface this, Russ, I go, okay, this is not a question. When they go, okay, in Russ's single days, which city had the hottest chicks? I've been out west. I'll tell you what, Calgary's pretty strong. You get down there around Stampede. Ottawa.
You know what? Canada and all the cities, they've got beautiful women across Canada. I mean, it doesn't matter what city you're in, there's beautiful women everywhere. So.
There we go, Russ. What a nice thing. Okay.
Yeah, and the thing about hockey was it was a big deal in Canada. The United States really, you know, when I played, it wasn't that big a deal.
Right.
Some of the cities, but.
It brings out the best in Canada.
There's something, you know, that I would say in the colder provinces, the girls probably partied a little harder than because there's not a lot to do in the wintertime. You know, there was.
Yeah. Right.
You know, Winnipeg, right. Boy, what are we going to do after work? Let's go straight to the bar.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, let's see if we can nuzzle up to someone. It's chilly. Let's see. Marcus Vaughn, B613. That must be an Ottawa guy. Marcus Vaughn. I don't know. Bob Satchwell. Thanks, Bob. Sue Hopko, we just mentioned her. Darcy Johnson, who's a nurse and a mother of three. Listens to the show and she loves it. Thanks a lot, Darcy. Danny Vial, I think he's my buddy from high school. Tabor Snack, he's got a video if you want to look it up. Cool. He sent me a video of Gretz running the 100 meters against
That was
Sugar
awesome.
Ray Leonard and some other guys, and he blew them away.
Yeah, okay? He's fast. Vial, there was a Vial who played for Ottawa.
Oh, okay, maybe it's
a tough guy.
Yeah, I don't know if it's any relation. Roma 42. That was his question about which city had the hottest chicks. And Mike Shearmet and Bob Satchwell, I mentioned those guys. So thanks a lot, everyone, for weighing in and giving us questions and getting Russ to open up. It's great. Rusty, here's the one I saved till the end, and I really like it because, excuse me, there's always this talk all the time, Russ, of what would a guy from your day be like playing in today's game? And Jason Perrier, he says, what bugs you more, Russ? Or what do you think about these two things that you always hear? A star from years past couldn't make it in today's game, or a current star today would blow away everyone from the old era. Does that make sense?
I think both are ridiculous. I think that we played when we played, and there were certain times when, like the 70s, when it was a big and tough game, and there was very few little guys and the hooking and holding era and all this stuff. And so I just, you know, the old comparisons, like let's stick to when players played and not try to compare. I don't like it when retired players go, oh, can you imagine if we played today and how much money we'd be making and no, 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 and this and right. that. And like, you know, there's time. Remember when the new rules came in and you couldn't hook and hold anymore? I mean,
right.
The captain of Calgary Flames couldn't make the team the next year because of the new rules. The captain.
Right.
Todd
right.
Simpson. I mean, he was right. like out of the league just by some rule changes. So there's an example of, okay, he played then, was captain of a team, but then couldn't play in the new era. I mean, yeah.
What's really interesting, Rusty, is, you know, you played in the era of Mario and Wayne, right?
Yeah.
Where the, you know, and Wayne, and you were there when, around when Wayne broke the record. And there was hooking, clutching and grabbing and hooking, right? And they go, could you imagine if Wayne played today?
Yeah.
Well, Connor, right, who's being starting to be compared, and these guys, so they've been playing without hooking, clutching, grabbing, and it's all they can do to get 50 goals.
Yeah,
right?
Well, the goalies are huge now, and they have their paddings. Like, look at when Gretz and I played, the goalies, you could see the net. Now you just see a big goalie and something behind him, which is right. called a net.
Right. Good point. Good point by you.
The athletes today are in every sport. Are fitter, faster, stronger. So you don't have slugs anymore. Out, you know, every player on the ice can fly. I mean, there's a slower player on the ice, you can really notice. Back in my time, that was normal. Like the third and fourth line were usually
putzing along.
Possibly. I mean, Dave Semenko, he barely broke his sweat out there.
Yeah, I know. Brad Marsh and those guys, remember?
Brad Marshy, and it's a different time.
Different deal.
I'm so happy the game, watching the game today in a lot of ways. My brother Jeff's a little harsher on it. Like he calls it pond hockey. He liked the rough and tumble game, but I just think you're getting to see so much skill. You know, the skill is rising to the top, and the players are great. They're fit. They're fast, and it's fun to watch. I think some people would like to see a little more physical play, but I think it's a great game right now. I think
if you don't think it's a highly talented, skilled, fast game, is take someone, go to a hockey game with someone who's never seen one, and you might go, well, who hasn't seen one? And I said, I'll tell you what, the Edmonton Trappers, the AAA affiliate for the California Angels back in the day here in the 80s. I took one of the, in fact, he made it to the majors. He was a good player, Jack Howell, who played for the Angels. He was the third baseman, and he asked me to take him to a hockey game because the season starts here in April, and of course, the Oilers were always in the playoffs. And this guy's a, you know, top athlete.
Yeah.
You know, he made the MLB. He'd never seen a hockey game. I brought him to the game, and my seats were really good, just four rows up from the glass. Free. And the guy went, oh my God. Oh my God. I can't believe how big and fast this game is.
Yeah.
And how talented these guys are. Yeah. You know, it just makes you think you're watching the greatest game in the world. So hats off to you, Rusty, when you get all this debate about who's better now, back then, and all this jazz.
And I've done the same thing with athletes too. Like Eric Kendricks, my daughter's fiance, plays for the Vikings. He loves going to the games. And he goes in mini in LA, and Allie's a big sports fan, so they love going together. And he just loves the speed of the game. And I sent a baseball player to a game, and I'm just blanking on his name right now. Right. But he says it's my new favorite sport.
Well, they're blown away, right? Yeah. They can't believe how fast it is.
Live is way better for a novice versus trying to watch it on TV, because it's hard to see the puck until you kind of learn the game.
Right. But Dustin Johnson's renowned as an all-around athlete, right?
Yeah.
Can swim like Phelps and dunk a ball and all this jazz and do everything else. And so I remember him telling me, he's like, okay, I'm going to try that skating thing, right? Until he came to one of those games, right? And he went, fuck that. Okay, I'm not doing it. Yeah. I can't. These guys, no way. He had a newfound respect
for Rocky. Matt Kuchar is the same. He's an unbelievable tennis player, basketball player. We all know what kind of golfer he is. Yeah. Ping pong. I mean, this guy, he's a stud.
Right.
And he said the only thing he can't do is raise the puck. Like, he says, can you show me how to shoot a puck? And I'm like, are you kidding me?
That's funny.
we never actually got out to do it, but he just said, next time we're together, can you just show me how to shoot a hockey puck? Cause I can't raise the thing.
Yeah. It's funny that guy's a stud because he looks like he'd be anything but a stud.
Oh, you know, he and
the
his
way
wife
he around a golf course and stuff. But
they're at Gosser all summer, and she was an amazing tennis player. They're both boys are amazing athletes too. So the four of them are all over Gosser playing something, whether it's golf, basketball, tennis, pickleball, you name it. They're everywhere.
And he gives his kids $5 a month in allowance. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. Poor Matt. You know, he didn't pay his caddy enough. Okay, Rusty, we got to get out of here, man. Another show in the books. If you like what you hear, pass it on to everyone. Of course, we need listeners. Our show's growing. It's back to the growing stage. And
Jimmy's got some great business ideas. We had a meeting with our boss and a manager that helps Reg that helps out with the show and stuff. So Jimmy's got all these great ideas. Haven't heard a freaking thing since the big meeting. The grandioso ideas are just
coming down the pipe.
Yeah.
So everyone have a good week. We'll be back next week with another show of Russ Courtnell's antics and mine on the Suspendables. We'll talk to you later, Rusty.
See ya.
See you later.
The Suspendables is a weekly podcast series featuring former NHLer Russ Courtnell and host Jim Jerome. Join us for new episodes available each Wednesday morning. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We invite you to subscribe and review or share the show with your friends and followers. Check out our website today, thesuspendables.com.